And this is installment number two. And we always endeavor to share God's Word in such a way that you can make a practical application with what you hear, take it home, and use it. I've taught from this passage before, but I'm going to share some things with you today that you really need to be mindful of. And we're going to share the Word in such a way that you can hopefully really see what happened in this instance. You know, so often we read accounts of things that happen in the Bible or in the ministry of Jesus, and we just read over them without really comprehending what took place. But when you understand what took place on this day, it can change your life. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to begin with verse 46. And this is a reference to Jesus and those who were following Him that day. And it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Now, that's a nice way to say, would you shut up? Are you with me? You know, the Greek word is such that they just wanted him to pipe down. You're making too much noise. Are you with me? "But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good cheer, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What will you that I should do unto thee?'" Now, I'm going to stop here and we're going to back up a little bit. I want you to see what literally took place. You have to understand that people in Bible days were just like us. Say, just like me. If there's one thing about human nature, you'll find that it hadn't changed in thousands of years. And the same issues that people dealt with thousands of years ago, we still deal with today. I'm going to come down here. I'm used to the old place where I can see you eye to eye. Are you with me? You know, the nice thing about this place is really there's not a bad seat in the house. There isn't. I can see, just like you can see me, I can see you too. Anyway, blind Bartimaeus. When you find the expression bar in the Gospels or in the book of Acts, like you'll see Simon Bar-Jonah. That prefix means son of. And so this man, Bartimaeus, was literally the son of a man named Timaeus who was well known in Jericho. Everybody knew who this man's father was. And so as Jesus goes to Jericho and then makes his exit later that day, blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside begging. And he probably heard the commotion, a big crowd of people going by, and he asked, "Hey, what's going on? Who's that?" And they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And of course, in Hebrew, Yeshua. And so when he heard that, he began to cry out, "Jesus," and he said something, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, that indicated that this blind man knew something about Jesus. He was the son of David, i.e., or he is the Messiah, the Savior, and the Deliverer. This is the man who can change my life. And so he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And of course, you know how many times people are. They're trying to help, but many times they get in the way more than they help. And so to maintain proper decorum and to keep things peaceful, they probably told him, "Man, would you be quiet?" And guess what he did? He began to cry out more. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He wanted to make sure he was heard. Now, when you look at this in the original language, you'll find that there are some words used that mean this guy really was yelling a lot. And I don't know exactly what it sounded like, but I do know enough Hebrew to give you a sense that this man was crying out, Yeshua, son of David, Weos David, have mercy on me, Rachame. And everybody said, would you pipe down? And instead, he turned the volume up. Yeshua, Weos David, Rachame. And everybody said, man, would you just God? Yeshua, Weos David, Rachame. And Jesus stopped. Now, I want you to notice what he did. He stopped and told those around him, his disciples, obviously, go call him. So now they went over to him, and blind Bartimaeus, who was crying out, probably still yelling, they said, you know, hey, be of good comfort. He's asking for you. And so he did something very interesting, and I'll talk about this in a minute. He got up and took the garment that he had on and cast it aside. Now, Bible scholars have commented on that many different times. Many times people in ancient times, if they were blind or handicapped, would wear a robe that let you know that they had some kind of handicap. So that could have been the case. But whatever it was, whatever he was wearing, he knew, I'm not going to need it anymore. And so he cast it aside and headed to Jesus. And finally, when he gets to Jesus, now this is what I want you to see. Jesus asked the man a question that in my mind seems very obvious. Jesus says to this guy, what would you have me do for you? It's obvious he was blind. And I'm sure as he was making his way through the crowd, some of his people who had taken him to Jericho said, you know, that's the son of Timaeus. Everybody knows Timaeus. That's his boy. He's blind. I'm sure Jesus knew his condition by the time he got there. But he still asked him a very simple question. What would you have me do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has saved you. And immediately his eyes were opened and he could see. Now, there are several things that we can talk about in this, but I want you to see something. We're talking about real people. Number one, this man was blind and yet Jesus walked right by him. And I'm going to show you a principle here that you need to remember. And you can write this down. Need doesn't move God. This man had a great, tremendous need in his life. Had he not cried out, he'd have remained in the same condition. Are you with me? Need doesn't necessarily move God. This man began to cry out, Yeshua, Weos David, Rachame. And Jesus kept walking. But he persisted. Here's the second thing you need to remember. God always responds to faith. This man's faith was evident through his words, stopped Jesus in his tracks, and he said, whoever that is, find him and bring him here. Now, it still brings us to this question. Why did Jesus ask him a question that seemed obvious to everybody else? Everybody knew who this man was. What would you have me do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know, there's a biblical principle that we have to understand. And it is this, ask and you shall receive. Everybody say ask and you shall receive. See, we've got this mindset that's been given to us because of religion. That because God is almighty and all-knowing, that He's just going to do things for us because we love Him. But yet the Bible doesn't teach that. Yes, He knows what you have need of before you ask, but you still got to ask. Amen. In fact, James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in his epistle and said this, you have not because you ask not. The reason you don't have is because you didn't ask. And for those of you who did ask and didn't receive, you asked amiss for the wrong motive. Are you with me? And so there's a biblical principle that we have to understand. Need doesn't necessarily move God. Ask and you shall receive. Amen. But the reason we don't receive, many times, we just don't ask. And see, there's this misconception in Christian circles that, well, you know, if I belong to God and I love Jesus, you know, God will take care of everything after a while. No, He won't. He'll pass you by just like He did blind Bartimaeus. But when you take faith and apply it, God will always respond. Amen. Now, this might seem foreign to your religious mind. That's okay. I'm going to help you this morning. The Bible has the answers.
Amen.
Now, here's something else that I want you to see. Blind Bartimaeus cast that garment aside and made his way to Jesus. He was determined and persistent. Even though people tried to dissuade him from crying out, that didn't stop him. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, remember last week we talked about the Lebanese or Syrian woman who came to Jesus, found out he was in the house in Tyre and Sidon. And she came in the house and said the same thing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's sore vexed with the devil. And you know what Jesus did? He ignored her. And she kept crying out. Remember the story? The disciples got frustrated, said, Lord, send her away. She's crying after us. And then Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She still persisted, made her way around, fell at His feet, and said, Lord, help me. And then He said, here's a great theological argument. It's not right to take what belongs to the kids and give it to the dogs. She said, that's true, but even the dogs get what they miss. And He said, woman, great is your faith. Now, this woman pressed in and got something that didn't even belong to her because of covenant, but persisted in faith and had her need met.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. What roadside are you sitting beside? And you may not be begging, but you may be lacking.
Right.
And see, there's a play on words there. Many times you can be lacking in your life, and you are, in a sense, begging. There's a void in your life that God can meet.
Amen.
And has provided for in redemption. And you may be in a situation where His presence is in close proximity to you every day. But yet you never ask. You never take the faith that He's given you and engage His power to get that need met. Are you with me?
Amen.
And see, I hung around with Pentecostal folk for decades. You know, used to sing that old song, Jesus will fix it after a while. Well, that while kept getting longer and longer and longer and longer, you know. And then you start singing different songs. You know, when I cross over Jordan, well, that's nice. Jordan's there. It'll be there when you get there. Don't rush it. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We're going to talk about some good stuff today. Now, Bartimaeus was blind. Jesus was passing by, but only stopped because of this man's faith. God always responds to faith. Remember, need does not move God. Now, let me reinforce this principle with you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, I'm teaching at ECBI this month a class called The Anointing. And the anointing is nothing more than the person of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing manifests Himself many different ways. One way He manifests Himself is through ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. These are ministry gifts. They're functions that are given by the Lord Jesus Christ and operated to the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that anoints us to do what we do.
Amen.
Now, there is an anointing on a teacher. The Holy Spirit will anoint a teacher to make biblical truths easy to understand. It's one thing to teach something, but can you teach it so people understand it and can apply it and can use it? Now, the thing that many people don't realize about Jesus was, yes, He preached, but Jesus was a prolific teacher. He was a very prolific teacher. In fact, one gospel writer said that Jesus taught in the synagogue daily. Every day he was teaching in the synagogue somewhere. Now, keep that in mind while we read Acts chapter 3. And we're going to begin with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The ninth hour is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily. Everybody say daily.
Daily.
Laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, because of this miracle, a little later on, over 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. Thousands came to Christ. Now, but here's something you've got to realize. This man was over 40 years old, or approximately 40 years old, was laid at the gate called Beautiful daily, begging. Now, given that we know that Jesus taught in the temple every day, it goes without question that Jesus entered through that same gate. We're only talking now some 2 months removed from the resurrection. Jesus walked through that same gate hundreds of times. And that man, on many of those occasions, was sitting right there. Are you all with me? Jesus passed by this same man probably hundreds of times. And he was there. Now, what am I trying to get over to you? This one important fact. You will either receive from God by engaging your faith, number one, or by a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There are times the Holy Spirit does something and He initiates them on His own. We can't control those times. Are you with me? That's what happened here in Acts chapter 3. As Peter and John were going in and this man was asking in alms and begging, I know exactly what happened. The Holy Ghost rose up within Peter and told him, stop. Ask him to look at you. And Peter did. And the Holy Spirit told Peter exactly what to say. Tell him you don't have any money, but you're going to give him what you got. Amen? And he did. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You don't do that unless the Holy Ghost tells you to do that. Are you with me? Now, you can do it on your own. It just won't work. Grabbed that man by the hand, the power of God went into him. Instantly, he was healed and made whole. Now, this man who had never been able to walk since birth is now in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And in fact, the religious leadership later on, when they got together, because they didn't want this thing to spread, this is what one of them said. Indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them, and is manifest to all, and we can't deny it. In other words, we can't explain this one away. Are you with me? The man was born unable to walk, and he's walking now. You can't talk that one down. Amen? But that it spread no further, let us straightly threaten them that they don't teach or preach anymore in this name. That's where the power is, in the name of Jesus. And so this man received by a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And so we can receive that way, or we can use the tool called faith, just like blind Bartimaeus. Now, let me back up to Mark chapter 10. You might ask yourself, why did Jesus walk right by this guy? Because that's what he was doing. He was leaving town. And the Lord didn't tell him to do anything else. Are you with me? And perhaps when this man finally got to Jesus, and it's obvious he was blind, Jesus said, "What would you have me do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." You know, there again, seems like a pretty obvious question. But I know for a fact that there were times when Jesus did not sense an anointing to do anything. And if you were going to receive anything, it was because you were believing. Are you with me? Who knows? He may have been tired. He got tired, just like we get tired. There were times he told his disciples, let's go take a break. Are you with me? Because he had a body just like we do. And many times you can sense the anointing being stronger at times than at other times. Are you with me? And maybe he was tired that day. And just ask him, "What do you want?" And the man said, "That I might receive my sight." And there were times that people expressed that to him. And he said, "Well, according to your faith, be it unto you." And they received every time. But notice, blind Bartimaeus had to do something. He didn't just sit there. Are you with me? Now, let me drive this point home, if you will. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Are you guys learning anything?
Amen.
Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Talking about real people. This is one passage that I like to share from often because it reveals so much. John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is in the Hebrew tongue called Bethesda. Bethesda in Hebrew means house of mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Notice what Jesus did. He said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, after this, when this man was carrying his cot or bed and heading wherever he was going, he was confronted by some of the religious brethren. Said, "Hey, brother, it's the Sabbath. You're violating the law, man. You can't be carrying your stuff." Now, the Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Okay? And so this man's carrying his bed. And they said, "Hey, it's the Sabbath. You can't do that." And this man said, "Well, the man who healed me told me, carry my bed, pick up my bed and go home." And they said, "Well, who was that?" You know, this guy didn't even know who he had just had an encounter with. Go down and look at verse 13. "But he that was healed wist not," that's Old English for didn't know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. Notice this, a multitude being in that place. What place? Bethesda, the house of mercy. Jesus had a multitude of sick folk. And when this man was healed, Jesus quietly slipped away. Now, it always used to beg the question in my mind, why didn't he heal them all? You ever thought about that? Well, healing belonged to them all. They were all Jews under the old covenant. Healing was part of God's provision. But Jesus told us himself why he did what he did. In verse 19, after he's confronted, Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." In other words, Jesus said, "I can't do anything of myself. I only do what I see my Father do." In other words, he went down to the pool of Bethesda because the Holy Spirit led him down there. there are a multitude of sick folk. And Jesus sees one man who'd been there for 38 years. And the Holy Spirit whispered to Jesus, ask him if he'll be made whole. He did. The man gives his explanation and expresses his despair. Holy Spirit said to Jesus, tell him, pick up his bed, go home. Notice no theatrics, no yelling, screaming, spitting. Are y'all with me? No microphone shoved down the throat. He just says, get up, pick up your bed, go home. Power of God hit that guy, instantly healed him. He got up, rolled up his stuff, he's heading for the house. Didn't even know who he just had a conversation with. Then when this man was healed, there were other people there that knew that this guy couldn't walk. He'd been that way 38 years. And it caused a stir. And it caused literally, when the verse says multitude, it's the Greek word oklos, which is the same word used to describe a riot. Man, there was a big stir going on. Wait a minute, what happened over here? Look at him, he walking, what's he doing? Look at him. That man can't walk, what's going on? And Jesus slipped away. Why? Because that's all the Lord told him to do. You with me? Notice verse 30, John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said this. Now listen to me. This is coming out of Jesus' own mouth. John 5:30. Jesus said this. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Jesus did what God told him to do, and that was all he told him to do, so Jesus left. Are you with me? Now, why did I share that verse with you? For this one reason. When it comes to receiving from God, you're only going to receive two ways. Either by a manifestation of the Holy Ghost, which is rare, or by engaging your faith. It's not up to God, it's up to you. Are you with me? Now, I asked you a question earlier. What roadside are you sitting by, begging or lacking? You can sit there if you wanna, or you can take the force of faith and let God change it. But apart from your faith and apart from a moving of the Holy Spirit, nothing will change. Are you with me? And there are times in our lives that we, just like blind Bartimaeus, will have to cast some things aside. Remember, he took his garment and he threw it aside. It's amazing what people can get comfortable with. And there are times we need to take some garments and throw them aside. You know? Are you with me? You know, sometimes, especially this time of year in the winter, we like to wear a lot of sweaters. I got quite a few sweaters that I wear. And if you're not careful, when you're wearing your clothes, if you get close to the wrong thing, you know, it'll get on you. Y'all with me? There are times that we deal with, you know, some of us live so close to the world. We live so close to the world that not only does it influence us, that stuff that you're close to, you end up wearing it. You end up wearing it. See, you get too close to something that's real dirty with your nice sweater on, pretty soon you're wearing that dirt. Y'all with me? So there are times we need to take the stuff we got on, we need to get rid of it. Because it ain't worth it. Are you with me? Or you can sit there, just like blind Bartimaeus did, there goes your provision right down the road. Or you can do something about it. Amen? You know, I have learned, I'm 55 years old, I have learned over the years. You know, I had a guy say to me just last night. He said, hey, stay out of trouble. I said, that's easy. Now, that's kind of difficult for him. You know, he's been in trouble a lot over the years. You know, he's done time in prison. No big deal. But, you know, it's, to him, to stay out of trouble is a challenge. Well, it just depends on your lifestyle. You know, what are you comfortable with? You with me? I didn't mean to go down this road, but while we're here, we may as well explore. Are you with me? Just like blind Bartimaeus, there are times you got to cast aside some garments. Because I got news for you, bro. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. You know, think back. You know, okay, well, I'm living this close to the world. I'm living on the edge. What have you gotten out of it? Nothing. Heartache. Financial despair. Disease, you with me? Strained relationships, it ain't worth it. Okay? So just like blind Bartimaeus, there are times we need to cast some things aside. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. We'll close with this. Acts chapter 14. The thing I want you to see is this. Here we looked at a real person who had a real need, a desperate situation, but when Jesus passed by, he made a decision to be proactive, to engage his faith, and to change his situation. He wasn't waiting for a manifestation of the Holy Ghost because it wasn't happening that day. You with me? It wasn't happening that day. It did happen in John chapter 5 to one guy. And then Jesus slipped away. Everybody at that pool could have been healed because they all had faith. But nobody decided to engage it that day. Are you with me? They're waiting for some water to move. You know, it's interesting. You can camp out at what God did yesterday. Y'all know what I mean? Church folk, come on, help me now. A lot of times there are whole denominations built on what God did yesterday. Well, it's great. He did it yesterday. What's he doing now? What's he going to do tomorrow? Well, I'm going to worship at the altar of yesterday. Well, go ahead. Knock yourself out. I'm not. I want to know what God wants me to do today. What does he want me to do tomorrow? All right? Because there's more. I like the way God revealed himself to Moses. He said, tell him I am that I am sent you. Not I was. Okay. But I am, not I was, you know. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 14, and I'm going to show you another principle. And this is the account of really the first church council when they came together, and something was said in Acts 14 that we need to be mindful of. Notice verse 27. Acts 14, 27, and when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, the word door here is a Greek word, thura, and it literally means a portal or an entrance or a door. And so here, Paul and his associates are rehearsing before the Jewish, predominantly Jewish church, and talking about the salvations, the signs, the wonders, the miracles. And they said that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. What does that mean? That simply means that we now, as non-Jews, can access all of God's provision, just like blind Bartimaeus did, if we'll enter through the door of faith. Faith is the door that receives from God. Don't be willing to sit on your blessed assurance and wait for the Holy Ghost to do something in your life. Amen. You need to take the step necessary to walk through the door of faith so that you can receive whatever you need, whatever area in your life where you have lack or need. God has made provision for you because Jesus has died and been raised from the dead. But unless you engage your faith, odds are nothing's going to change. Amen. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm a real person. Hallelujah. And I have real faith. Amen. And I can make a real difference in my life. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to wait for the Holy Ghost to do something. It's up to me, not God. Can you see that this morning? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, would you stand with me, please? And we want to take a moment to pray.